thank you all for being here today, the star pupils. Yes. I got to get started because I got a lot of stuff to get through, and I know they want to have discussion at the end. So we're just going to go ahead and get into this thing, and when people come in, we can stand up and clap. Thank you, know, congratulate them for finally making it. But anyways, so a quick recap over the, you know, has everybody enjoyed this pathway? It's been pretty cool, right? I like these things because you can get together and kind of have a more one-on-one. People you don't necessarily get to always have this interaction with, you know, a church of 400 plus. You don't talk to the people on the other side of the church so often. So this is cool to do stuff like this. But, you know, Pastor spoke the first week about loving people. It's the foundation and all that. Not holding grudges. It's a big thing. Sister Jessica Moss spoke the second week on effective communication, which I could be better at, sure. You know, the role of empathy, that's one I could be a lot better at. Acknowledging feelings, validating them, all that good stuff. And then Angie Sim spoke about understanding conflicts and how they help us to grow and better communicate. So kind of, you know, segued into Sister Moss's. And the wisdom and grace that we should show to others. And then she spoke about how to balance restoration with healthy boundaries. And that segues nicely into what I'm speaking about today, and that's boundaries and how to maintain them. So, biblical boundaries, a foundation, a biblical foundation of boundaries. What are they exactly? You know, a lot of people, when they think boundaries, they put it in a negative context. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, I'm playing basketball, and this guy cuts me off on the baseline, and I want to go left to get around it, but I can't because there's that boundary. Of course, I lose the ball. I can't score a point. I lose the game. That boundary is a negative to me in that aspect. When we think about the property, you know, we got property lines. We look across there, be like, man, that hill would be awesome to build a house on. But I can't get over there because there's this property line. Which brings me to my next point. Okay, I'll just go buy it. Well, now I have the boundary of finances. I can't afford it. So it's negative. It's just negative, negative, negative. But what we need to realize as we get into this today is that boundaries are not a bad thing at all. In fact, they can be a very good thing. Okay. Proverbs 4:23, reading from the New International Version. Sorry for KJV only. But above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The key there is guard your heart. So what we see is a boundary here is a stewardship kind of deal here. So guard your heart. What does one do to guard something? They protect it, put something in front of it, put themselves in front of it. Sometimes the boundary is removing ourselves from the situation, right? Okay. So take Jesus' example of setting boundaries. Luke 5:16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. This was right after Jesus had told the disciples to cast their nets. They couldn't catch anything. Anybody ever been there? Man, go out there and fish. I can't catch anything. Yep. And Jesus said, you know what? Go ahead and throw it on that side. You'll catch some. And they do. Great. Jesus, I'm going to go fishing today. You lead me, okay? All right. And then, you know, they caught so much, they had to bring other people over there to bring the fish in. And then the man with leprosy came right after that, and he healed him. So that, what's that do? Everybody gets excited, like, oh, I got to go see Jesus because he's going to give me a miracle. But what's Jesus do? He withdrew himself at that point. Why? Because he needed that time away at that moment. It's okay to step back. That's my whole point in saying that. Okay. See, boundaries aren't bad, but they reflect love and wisdom. Okay. And it's not selfishness. It's love and wisdom. So boundaries are limits of people boundaries are limits people set in relationships to feel safe, respected, and comfortable. Okay? And they come in many different aspects in many different ways. First, what we need to realize is why they matter. Why do boundaries matter? They promote healthy relationships. Okay? They prevent burnout, resentment, and codependency. That's a big one. Enhance self-respect and confidence, and they strengthen our ability to serve God and others effectively. So that's why they matter, among many other things. But these are just a few. I'm just giving you some bullet points, okay? But how many types are there? There are several types of different styles of boundaries and all that. And to name a few of those, we have the physical, okay? Everybody has a personal space, right? Some people don't know what personal space is. You talk to somebody and you keep backing up, and the next thing you know, they're like, this. You're like, what is happening? Trying to step back, like, bro, need my space. touch preference, you know, I think of the old man, stay off my lawn. You know, he's got that aspect too, the physical. Hugging a friend versus shaking a hand versus no touch at all. I mean, everybody's got their preferences, especially today's time. You know, back in the day, we used to do a lot more, you're my brother, you're my sister, and you go around shaking and hugging necks and stuff. Now people are like, oh, no, people got cooties again. We can't do that, you know, whatever. Then you got the emotional boundaries, okay? Respecting feelings, not oversharing. Think of a friend pressuring you to share a secret when you're uncomfortable, or they take advantage of you because they know that you take pleasure in helping them, so they take advantage of your emotional state and all that. This is a big one. Time boundaries. Major, major, major. Because we are always on the go. If you're involved in church, you're involved at work, you got kids, whatever it is, there's just not enough time in the day to do it all the time, right? So you balance your family time, your work, your school, ministry, church. And then, of course, you have to have the number one relationship, and that's time with God, right? That trumps everything, okay? So then we have the digital boundaries, social media, texting, privacy. You know, if you're in a relationship where somebody feels like they have to go check your phone when you're not around, you got issues, okay? I think of, you know, the keyboard warriors, and just, they just want to hate and send hate out there on the interweb and all that. Work, school, church boundaries, professionalism, respecting roles, you know, speaking formally to superiors as a boss, pastor, whatever it is. So with that being said, we have different boundaries in different types of relationships. So this is going to be a little bit of more of the body of this thing. We're still doing pretty good on time. Is that right? Yes. We're pretty good. Okay. The first one, boundaries in dating and marriage. Okay. Yep. Boundaries in dating and marriage. Maybe a lot of y'all can get up here and speak about this one, right? The boundaries can be the same in both types. They are in a lot of ways. Of course, the big one, dating, you got the physical. There's that boundary, right? I don't need to say too much more beyond that, right? We're adults. We'll leave it there. But a lot of ways that they can be the same is honor God in relationships. Okay. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, charity, which is love, suffereth long, it's kind, envieth not, vaunteth itself not, puffed up, it's not puffed up, doesn't behave unseemly, doesn't seek its own, so on and so forth. We all know the scripture. So honor and love in marriage is essential to its success. You have to honor one another. Okay. And another way, our next point here, is differentiating between healthy and controlling behaviors. Everybody's got these different personalities and things. And there's these certain relationships where somebody can get very controlling. Okay. I'm treading lightly here. I know it can be a sensitive subject for some. But there have been so many times in our conversations with Hyphen where we say, look for the red flags early, okay? Check it early, because a lot of times, you know, things are packaged well in the dating aspect, and I know I'm speaking to a lot of married people here today, but it still can come into our marriage, and some people might even be in this place in their marriage. And the good thing is, it's not the end of the world. You can still work through it. But what it's going to take is first by identifying these issues, these behaviors, and then having the open line of communication and then cooperation on both sides to finally overcome these kind of behaviors and eliminate them. Okay. The next one, communicating needs and limits, personal needs and limits. It's a big one. Guys, or ladies, I should say, we can't read your minds no matter how much you think we can. Okay. You're going to have to tell us.
There I am.
And Brittany's thinking, well, you got to talk to me too, because you're just over there doing your thing, okay? All right, so you have to talk about it, okay? Personal needs, limits, talk finances, religious ideas, sexual do's and don'ts, how to discipline the children, okay? That's something we're going to have to talk about. Or the biggest one, you know, where do you want to eat? Just say it, okay? We'll go there. You just got to say it. All right. Don't wait till I give you an option. That ain't it.
Next one. All right. So the next one is managing conflicts respectfully. This goes for any relationship. It's not just to this. A lot of these over, you know, go to several different relationships. But manage it respectfully. There's no reason to name call, drag each other through the mud. You know, you have kids and, well, your dad did this, blah, 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 blah. You know, don't degrade one another. Be respectful. Okay. You're going to have disagreements. Just talk it out in a cordial manner. And then setting the emotional and physical boundaries. We've kind of already hit a lot on that. The next one. Boundaries and family relationships. This is such a big one for so many people. A lot of time it gets overlooked because, you know, oh, they're family. They can deal with it. You know, whatever. We're close. We still love each other. And then we just disrespect one another in that. So the first one, honoring parents without enabling dysfunction. Enabling is going to be a hot button word throughout this thing. Of course, we know this is true. The Ten Commandments is there. Honor thy father and thy mother. So that you may live a long and prosperous life, whatever, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing. And then we got the next one. Is boundaries with kids. Okay. You're like, well, you don't even have a kid yet. How can you talk about this? We've dealt with young people. We've dealt with hyphen age. We've been around kids. We know the dynamic of it. And a lot of times, if parents aren't careful, and this is something that we are very adamant about, is that kid does not trump your relationship with your spouse. Okay? Yes. Love that kid. Yes, that is your responsibility. But that kid cannot become your sole reason for living. Yes. Okay? I say this respectfully. You can't allow them for that to happen. The saddest reality is emphasis is placed on them so much that those kids, the thing is, those kids are going to grow up. They're going to move out and all that. And, you know, even if it's just up the hill. My mom and dad. But I've heard so many stories of people saying we had to learn to love each other again, you know, because the kid was there. We couldn't love each other then. I was just like, what are you thinking? Okay. Love each other while the kids are present. Keep the marriage strong now, so there's not a learning curve to love each other once again. And what better example to show your kids than to love each other while they're in the home? Okay. Moving on. The next one, managing expectations and family obligations. Okay. Somebody might have said it earlier in the month. I can't remember. I wrote down expectations always affect relationships. Expectations always affect relationships. What you do or allow versus what you or another family member expects you or them to do, and it will always play a role in how that relationship proceeds. Okay. Whatever you allow now is going to set the tone for what comes later. Am I making sense? Okay. So this is a sensitive subject for some. It's okay to distance yourself from a family member. Okay. If they're causing problems in your life, and it's the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and there's no end in sight, it's okay to say, okay, I'm going to set this boundary here. I know I might be stepping on some toes today. But this is good. If you don't say it is, I say it's good. Because okay? I've seen it happen for people, not me personally, but people I'm very close to. I have to set this boundary. You can't be here. And the reason that is because if you just let it keep happening, you're going to eventually hate that person so much that it's going to be an issue. Okay. And we can't, if we're a true Christian, we can't hate somebody. We have to love them. Okay. So my point is, I'm going to put this boundary here. I'm going to love you from a distance. Okay. I'm going to hope the best for you, okay? But I have to have a little bit of separation here. That's the same thing Jesus did when the people came to him. He had to have that separation, okay? Everybody still with me? I ain't making people mad, right? Okay. So you don't have to keep them around just because of their blood. That doesn't mean you hate them. You know, we're loving from a distance. Next one. Is handling guilt and emotional manipulation with grace. Does anybody know these people that just like to manipulate you to get what they need and want from you? Okay. Or they guilt you. Well, you made me feel this way. And that's good. They're telling their emotions. Oh, that's good. Sure. But if you could tell, you know, over time, the same cycles over and over and over again, you could tell what they're really up to. Okay. You're close to these people. Okay. So There are people that attempt to control others through these two facets. They guilt you into doing something or manipulate you in other ways. So we need to be vigilant in recognizing these devices and shut them down, whether we are the ones using them. Sometimes if we're not careful, I mean, you have to self-evaluate. You might be the person using these tactics. And that's the issue that you can fix by yourself right off the bat. But then you can also say, well, let's really dive into this and why you've been doing the things you've been doing and the way you've been doing it. So the longer you allow yourself or someone else to do these, the harder it becomes to break these habits. And then the last one of this one is creating independence while maintaining family bonds. Okay. For example, we want our children to grow up and to be their own person, to be successful. We want that. And a lot of that will begin with having boundaries so that we don't suffocate them and let them, you know, do their own thing. Okay? You're walking that fine line. Okay, I'm here for you. I'm going to help you not make mistakes, but they need to make some mistakes. Okay. So they begin with having the boundaries not to suffocate them so that they have the opportunity to spread their wings and fly. So a huge way to create independence in family is to not enable their bad habits. There's that word again, enable their bad habits. If a loved one struggles with certain issues and we feel it could be our fault that they are in such a predicament, then what we can do is keep that relationship in the unhealthy cycle. Okay. And we see that codependency, kind of like we spoke of earlier, okay? It's created through the building blocks. You know, you've got the guilt, the hope, the fear. They play the victim and all that. You feel bad, so now I'm going to help you. And then you help them, and they get back on their feet, and then the cycle starts all over again, okay? You're just enabling it happening. I know, I don't want to say names, but it's a kid up in his 40s, and his parents are just keeping the cycle in his life. You know, here he is still trying to grow up at 40-something years old. It's not me. I'm not 40 yet. Okay. All right. So blaming excuses can begin to be placed on others. And it's a natural instinct for individuals, especially parents, to comfort and shelter in an attempt to right that issue. Okay. But in actuality, they're doing damage by not allowing that individual to take the responsibility or make an effort to right the issues themselves. Okay. And this same behavior carries over into the next type of relationship. And that's boundaries and friendship and church community. That's obviously a big one for us. Yeah. Church community. We speak unity, you know, and hanging out with one another. So the first one is carrying each other's burdens versus, there's that word again, enabling, right? If we look at the Bible, Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. Okay. We're to bear one another's burdens, right? That's what the Bible just told us to do. Then Galatians 6:5, remember I just read from 6:2, or three verses later, 6:5, says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Wait a second. Did it just contradict itself? We're to bear one another's, but then we bear our own burden. No, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. What I believe we're reading here is we are here for one another. We're going to help one another through it. I'm your friend. I want you to succeed, but ultimately, it boils down to me. It's my burden, okay? I'm looking to you to help me, but ultimately, it's me. So, we as friends must be careful in our helpful endeavors not to enable those bad habits and behaviors. You know, sometimes we think we have a good friend because, you know, they're always telling us, oh, yeah, go do this, go do that. But a good friend is going to hurt your feelings sometimes, okay? They're going to give you that ugly N-O word, okay? No, don't do that, okay? That's a good friend, okay? So we need to realize it's from a place of love. That's where all this is coming from, a place of love. The next one, recognizing toxic or one-sided friendships, okay? We need to have friends that have that mutualistic, symbiotic relationship. I think of the sea anemone. You know, you look at nature, you see all kinds of stuff like this. The clownfish and the sea anemone, okay? They're both... There's that mutualistic, symbiotic relationship, okay? The clownfish is being protected from the tentacles of an enemy, and the enemy is getting stuff because the clownfish is, you know, taking all the bad stuff off the tentacles, okay? You think of the monkeys, you know, picking off ticks off each other, whatever it is, okay? I don't know if you have friends like that, but there you go. So nobody wants a friend that is always taking, never giving. Okay, don't be a freeloader. Don't be a freeloader. All right. Oh, my goodness. We could spend a whole class on this very next one. I'm running out of time quickly. Oh, I don't have to push it. All right. Star, circle, highlight. This is the one, okay? Avoiding gossip and respecting confidentiality.
Yes. Mm.
So everyone should exhibit this trait so strongly, but we'll say in Pentecostalism, whatever, I don't know. It's not the case. I don't know why it is. A lot of people like to talk about people. Just makes them feel good. There you go. Don't be telling people's business. And I say that whether it's bad or good. Okay? Sometimes it's not yours to share. For instance, you know, we found out we were pregnant and we wanted to tell people. We wanted to see people's reaction when we told them. Okay? So we told our nieces, okay, you can't say anything yet. Because we want to tell people. Of course, we told Hyphen, and then we said, you could tell people, and they went running, you know, running through telling everybody. Which we told them they could at that point. Okay, we told them they could. That was the point, right? Some people think, well, it's a good thing, so I can tell people. Yeah. Or they justify the bad by putting a prayer request form. Well, or they say, well, bless their hearts, such and such did such and such, and blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. Or we think, well, they didn't tell me not to say anything, so I can say it. Yeah. And here's a really good rule of thumb. If what you are about to say to about someone did not come from said someone, then don't say something about that someone. That's the grapevine, right? We don't want to be part of the grapevine. Okay, I got to skip this next one. The last one here, don't abuse or waste their time or energy. That's a big thing in church. Yeah, don't waste or abuse. Don't emotionally use them as a punching bag. Negative offloading. If everything out of your mouth's negative, I don't like taking around people that's just always negative. Anyways. Boundaries of ministry and serving. Saying yes wisely, that's a big one for me. Brittany says I say yes too much. Okay. And then reversely, if you always say no, say yes sometimes. It says wisely. Not never say yes. Say yes. Anyways, I'm hustling through this here. I'm sorry. The next one, avoiding burnout in church service. That's a big one too. I went to a Bible college, and that was a big thing they spoke to us and preached to us. If you're always giving of yourself and just never have time to yourself, you can get burnout really quickly. And that means in serving, but more particularly in the 11 a.m. service. Okay. If you're always doing something during service all the time, it's hard to get something because you're always giving. Okay. That's what's so great about coming to a bigger church is you can have these days where you don't have to do anything. And it's all about you've been having the opportunity to glean from the service and all that. So, which brings me to the next point, the balance between helping others and then our personal well-being. If we are constantly pouring out and never putting back in, then we're going to be drained. If someone is always taking, asking, exhausting your resources, time, money, energy, there comes a point that we have to step back for our well-being. And then the one last thing is don't take advantage of them or let them take advantage of you. And then I had a couple real quick. I'll hit these real quick. Boundaries in the workplace, professionalism, personal boundaries, dealing with difficult coworkers. I have a difficult boss. I work with my dad, for those that don't know. Or for my dad, I should say. No, I'm kidding. We have a great relationship. We yell at each other, and then we're over in like a second later. It's fine. So setting boundaries for workload and availability, that's a big thing. I'll hit this one a little bit. You know, we want that promotion. So we'll do whatever we can to get that promotion when they say, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? But then we spread ourselves too thin. And the next thing you know, you can't do anything very well. And you thought you were about to get a promotion, but the next thing you know, you're getting fired because you couldn't do your job for all the things you signed up to do. Okay. So you got to set that boundary. Okay. You want to be available, but again, don't always say yes. Take it back to the previous one. Social and digital, real quick, managing social media expectations. Don't get upset if someone doesn't like your post or whatever. Online interactions that honor God. Don't go to those websites. Don't blast your every minute thing about your life on social media. I don't need to go into details about that, right? And then unplugging and protecting mental health. You know, Pastor did a series on the dangers of something. I can't remember how it would work. What the title was, but you know, we have to distance ourselves, take the tether away from it, and you know, fast the social media every now and again. Yeah? Get off of it.
Well, you're doing it.
Yeah. Don't get on them today. I'll be back here in a few months, y'all. And then it's not even a few months, you're on there the next day. It's like, well, they did a good job. All right. The next thing. So communicating and enforcing these boundaries. These are the types we've talked about, the different relationships we've had. So how do we go about communicating and enforcing them? First off, you have to recognize when the boundaries are being violated. Okay. For you and those you interact with, watch their physical cues. You know, if they want that personal space and you feel like you're talking to them and you keep having to get closer and closer because they're backing up, there's probably a physical cue. They want a little bit of personal space there. Overcoming fear of setting boundaries. You know, some people just don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to upset somebody. But don't be afraid to tell somebody. It saves you and them a lot of hurt down the road, because if you let them do something now, you're like, well, maybe it's just a one-time thing and it never happened again. But then it happens again. It rears its ugly head. And if you allowed it the first time, the next time it could be much worse and all that. Somebody calls your name and you don't like it, tell them, because you don't want them to go even further down the Christian cuss words list, you know, whatever. Anyways. So effective communication techniques. This is a major one. Use I statements. I don't like when you do this. I don't understand why you do this. I'm uncomfortable when you do this. We have to be firm but respectful. Know how to say no with love and respect. And then learn handling pushback and guilt from others in a Christ-like manner. Okay? Like right on time. Our last thing here is self-care and spiritual renewal. We've already touched a lot on this. You know, Jesus was a model of rest and retreat. Mark 6:31, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me, by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Okay, this was right after he told them to go and minister the word, and then John the Baptist was beheaded. So these guys were out about the Father's business. But then, you know, when they came back to Jesus, he said, you've been about the Father's business, let's take rest. That's something we don't do, is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and you know that day of rest. You know, when you're involved in ministry, you know, Sunday's our Sabbath. When you're involved in ministry, it's not a lot of rest. Like, I'm up here having to talk to you all right now. I'm not getting a lot of rest. Okay, so you're giving of yourselves, but you still have to have those moments where you have that time of rest. And personal spiritual care, the role of prayer. You have to pray. Pastor's hounding it in our heads that if you're still not getting it, get on board, okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. The role of prayer, discernment, and setting boundaries. And sometimes you're going to have to reassess, adjust those boundaries over time. Dealing with the boundaries, self-care, strategies to reinforce them. So, hopefully today our objective was to understand the biblical and practical principles of the boundaries in our different relationships. Remember, they're not always bad. They'll ultimately enable us to cultivate God-honoring connections while protecting our emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. And always remember, you have boundaries, but so does the person that you have that relationship with. Okay, your boundaries aren't always going to be the same, but you need to respect theirs. Learn your friends, your family, church members, co-workers, whoever you're in close proximity with, and learn their tics, their just different triggers, whatever. And know the limits set in your personal relationships, and recognize there are unspoken rules. You know, the bubble rule. That should be everybody. You know, don't get too close unless you know them personally, and don't chew with your mouth open, and don't slurp, you know, your drinks and things like that. I got etiquette problems at this table. Don't, you know, take food off my table or off my plate. Right? I'll give you a fry if I want to give you a fry.
Listen, she says she don't want fries. You go ahead and get fries anyway, right?
Oh, my
God. All right. I'm teasing. Okay, I've talked this whole time. I've done pretty good. We got some time to talk. Maybe if I've said something that you would like to discuss, now's your time. Maybe share experiences or concerns. Maybe you have a real-life church scenario that you could say that would, you know, back these things I've said. Or maybe I didn't say. Maybe I missed something you think needs to be on this list.
And I like what you had to say about setting boundaries with family members. I think that is so crucial, so important. I think you spoke volume right there. It will be sick to have to call that. I have noticed the way that I feel spiritually, like at the church on Sunday, if I've had a bad day, a bad phone call from a certain family member, you know, that is constantly in conversation, may start out okay, but you know they're leading to an argument, or, you know, it's a one-sided conversation, you know, then it leads to an insult or something. You know, I have noticed how that can affect me, even praying to people, you know, in my worship and stuff in church, if I get a phone call from a certain person, because I know they will go down that negative road. You know, so I think when you hit that, what you said about that, I said, I think that's huge, you know, because I still love my family. I still love people. But yet, I understand, you know, how important that is, you know, to put up that boundary, you know, where I don't like to say, send the phone to voicemail because you don't know if something might really be wrong. But it's got to the point, you know, dealing with certain ones that, yeah, the phone's going to voicemail, you know, because it's getting into my personal space, it's getting into my head. You know, what in my walk with God, have to deal with all the negativity, you know, criticism and so on. So yeah, I'm glad you hit on that, because that was huge. Well, sometimes we think because it's a family member that we have to engage, you know, in that conversation, no matter that it is bad, and that's not the case. It is okay to set a boundary, you know, to put up that, we'll say to put up that shield, the hedge around you, you know, to protect yourself, to protect your mind. You know? So I'm glad you hit on that. That's really good.
Yeah, because if you're not careful, and I didn't hit on this one. I'm talking again. I don't know why. But, you know, for instance, let's say you have a relationship with your spouse. Okay, you have that. And then your spouse makes you mad. And then you go run off and talk to your friend, and you're just degrading that person and all that. And if we're not careful, even with family, too, this plays out, that if we're always dragging somebody through the mud and all that, you can get over something a lot quicker. And this really is kind of going away from what you just said now, but here I am talking. But you can, for instance, Brittany makes me mad. Okay, and I go talk to Brittany, never makes me mad. Brittany makes me mad, and I go talk to my friend, and I'm always saying, Brittany did this, Brittany did that, blah, 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 blah. And then I could get over it quickly because I love Brittany, but that person doesn't have that relationship with that person. So that person doesn't get over things as quickly as you get over something. And the next thing you know, they become that devil on your shoulder. Be like, oh, just go get another one. Go get you another husband. Okay. He's not that good. Okay. We don't need that kind of relationship in our lives either. So, I would kind of wait off where you were at, but I wanted to share that as well.
Well, I was going to ask what Rilla's Paul said too. Like, I don't understand, but my relationship with that.
You know, like that. Talk for sure. I don't understand. I like that.
Hey, you, when you're around someone that scares you, thank you. It's our day, say, or good. You know, we have product space. Get your spirit detector, come to church. You're going to experience in her spirit, and then it go up to someone else next to you. And I, we're not experienced. Like, I can't. I will end that.
Now, sometimes the best love that you can show is setting that boundary, because you know that you're not a better person with them constantly through life. And so if you really love them and you really love God, and you have that relationship, God, show them love by setting that boundary, saying, hey, like, and if they're not on conversation, not easy decisions, maybe that's another thing that's important to point out with any boundary that you have to set. It's never really easy to set a boundary. No matter what type of boundary is, whether it's ministry, work, church, family, whatever it might be, but it's for your mental health and for their good as well. You love them better by setting that boundary. And it's the same thing with ministry. We can get so burnt out and so to the point where we say yes to everything. And we're doing everything, you know, we're doing it for the kingdom of God and we're doing it with good intentions. But then all of a sudden, you get so drained that you lose your relationship with God. So you're no longer serving at that point. You're no longer doing what God wants you to do. You're just barely getting by. And that doesn't serve anyone else. So those boundaries serve you and others as well.
Yeah, you lose that relationship with God. I mean, you're just going through the motions. It's just a social club, this whatever you want to call it, and that's no good. Tabit.
If the person is toxic, should you call them out on it? Or, like my instinct, I'd be like, okay, you're an issue. Or do I have to be like, well, I see.
Well, I think...
it's not my...
I think you come to them... See, here's the fine line. And I could be wrong. Somebody else interject, please. But you come at it from, you know, with the emotions. This is how you make me feel, whatever. And give them the opportunity to maybe fix their toxic issues. But, you know, sometimes I said be firm, right? You're going to be respectful. Be firm. And if it's a continual thing over and over and over again, you might have to get a little bit more aggressive about it. Somebody, please say something else. Yes. Is this to do with this? Yes, please.
I don't think, well, you should feel like if I'm calling out, I don't feel like I should have to fall on my sword to do that. I'm not necessarily gonna, like, you know, you're built completely, like, attack that person on my way out, but I'm not gonna say, you know, no, it's not you, it's me. But no, it really is you. That's why I have fault notes. Like, draw back, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do that way, if you say, oh, it's not you, it's me, you're enabling that again.
Right.
Because they don't realize that that's the issue. Okay.
I think it depends on the relationship, too.
It does.
They know. If we have tried to have those conversations and they know what they're doing. Most of the time, if you have that relationship and you have tried to have that discussion and it's in one ear out the other, at that point, let them enough to give it to God and say, I'm done with this. I wash my hands of it. Like, God, you're going to have to take care of their heart and you're going to have to show them what they're doing because I've already tried. And that's not saying that you can never try again. That's not, you know, that's not saying that I can never try again, but at some point you do have to kind of, with certain relationships and certain people, you do kind of have to give it to God to let it go and say, you go, God, I'm going to have you step in because I can't do this in my own.
Sorry. I knew.
To tag on to that, actually, it's also praying for that person.
Yeah.
If it's a very close relationship, I mean, there are people that are close to us that we have to interact with in some way. Pray for them, but let God work on you too. Maybe there's a way that God will develop something in you. Or you see that person, you can help somebody in a different relationship. So God's always using all of our junk to mold us and shape us and interact in what we learn in one kind of relationship, a boundary we put up. Maybe we don't see that. Maybe we don't see this toxic person in our life, but we see it in somebody else. And so we bring that into. So it's always a full circle thing. Is that nothing is ever segmented? Just give, try to grow up all of it.
Absolutely.
Great. Prayer is key.
Yeah. You learn from every single relationship, everything you could possibly grow from it.
And apply it to so many other areas, sure.
Okay.
Here it is. I was waiting for this one.
The Bible tells us if we have an ought against our brother,
sure,
we go talk to him.
Yep.
So my advice would be if somebody's causing you problems, somebody's doing something that's aggravating you, or they've done you wrong, or you've done them wrong. The way you resolve that, you go talk to them and say, hey, this is bothering me. Do it with the right spirit, the right attitude.
That's your key.
You got to do it in the right way. You can't go up there, hey, you stupid moron. You can't do it now. You're getting on my nerves and I'll punch you in the face. You can't do that.
Although that works too.
That's my coach.
Yeah, put a boundary there. I'm not going to punch him out.
And that's how we absolutely start there. But we have to realize too, Did you have more before I? You could try everything you're going to try, but sometimes that person is just not going to.
And if they don't, that you walk away.
Walk away. And that's when you. I wash my hands of this.
Does we hate them? Does it no? You feel
love is love from a distance.
This isn't working. We need to stay apart. Don't do that with your spouse.
No. Probably should work out one now.
A lot of times, what I've seen relationships and building friendships and similar, there's something off of none of the socks to admit. So on, it's tough when it's a problem inside of ourselves. Like these people get jealous of you. And if you're a successful person and you are good at something, it might be a gift or something God has given you or something. But yet, they'll always want to be people that's want to be your friend. They want to be close to you. But they may not even realize that they're jealous of you, but they're all the time pulling at you. You know, because they want to be you, you know, but they can't be. So what they do is they start speaking into you these negative things. They start trying to pull you down. And a lot of times it's a spiritual thing. You know, and there's a jealous spirit, and they don't even realize it, but they're constantly coming back.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those keep your friends close to your enemies closer kind of thing. Oh, they're my enemy. I want them to fail, so I'm going to speak the negative in their life.
Truth.
Anybody else?
My initial thought was, ask God for wisdom.
100%.
If you're close to Him, He can speak the very words that you need to say. Oh, no.
And the other thing is, if you're not to the point with that person that you're close to, I mean, you're close to them and talking to them and you're kind of beating around the bush about it, and they think that they're the exception to the rule. They think they're not the problem, that you're talking about somebody else or some other whatever.
Yeah.
So you have to be to the point with them sometimes. Some people, you just can't beat around the bush because they think, oh, that's helped me.
Well, another thing you'll find out when you do that is most of the time it's just a misunderstanding. You took something a certain way, and that's not
it. That goes back to one of the lessons, communication, one of y'all spoke on. Yeah, you gotta say it. You gotta be forthright.
Especially if it's text.
Especially if it's text. Yeah. Anybody else?
Good job, everyone.